So we don't think much of loving food as a sort of idolatry. It is. Loving money is another form of idolatry. And if I really want to be totally available for God, I must be free from worship of these things. You can use these things, but not worship these things. Let me show you another verse in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. When people can say when they hear something like this, oh, brother, everything is lawful for me. What's wrong in my eating a little more, enjoying myself, having a good meal? Nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. So let me read to you. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful. Now he's not talking about sinful things. Paul had already been freed from sinful things. But among the non-sinful things, everything is lawful for me, Paul says. There are many things I can do. Jesus could have gone to Rome if he wanted for a holiday. Why not? Was it unlawful to visit Rome for a holiday? Was it unlawful for Jesus to ask for money to get a chariot to travel from Jerusalem to Galilee? He had to do it so frequently instead of walking for 3 days to get there. Nothing unlawful about it. He's serving God. But he was very careful. He wouldn't allow Judas Iscariot to make a proclamation, let's get a chariot for the master. He would have told him to keep quiet. All things are lawful, but all things are not profitable. So I see there are two types of Christians, born-again Christians. Those who say, if it's lawful, I can do it. I don't care what others say. Fine. You'll be a carnal Christian all your life. You may be born again, but you'll be useless to God. I can guarantee that. Because your life's motto is, anything that's lawful, I'll do. You're not a sinner doing unlawful things. No, you're better than them. But who is a spiritual person? The person is who says, out of 100 lawful things, I'm going to take 25 that are profitable and do only those. That person's life will count for God. That's the person who, when he meets the Lord face to face in the final day, will have no regret over the way he lived. I'm convinced that many, many believers are going to have tremendous regret over the way they lived their lives, the way they spent their time, the way they spent their money, and what they lived for, what their goal in life was. And one reason was, they chose the minimum necessary to go to heaven. The minimum necessary to please God. That was not Jesus' attitude. He didn't go to the Father and say, Father, what's the minimum I have to do on this earth? No. His attitude to the Father was, what is the maximum I can do in the 33 years that you give me on this earth? There are believers like that today. Who say, what is the minimum? What's the minimum number of meetings I have to attend in the church? And what is the minimum I have to do here? What's the minimum I have to give to God? And what is the minimum amount of time I must read the Bible? How much must I know the Bible? What is the minimum? I want to say without hesitation, these are Christians that are absolutely useless to God. They warm the pews and the chairs in the church every Sunday, but they don't accomplish anything for God. Their lives are, as far as God's concerned, their life is a dead loss. In fact, they're like paralyzed hands in the body of Christ that are a drag and a weight upon the body. God wants every member of his church to be effective and useful and powerful and strong. Every brother, every sister. And we must train our children that way too, from the time that they're young. But this is the way to do it. Among the 100 things that are lawful, I've got to select the things that are profitable. And say, Lord, I've got only one life to live. I want to spend my life doing the things that are going to count for eternity. Not just for me to become spiritual, but for me to fulfill the will of God. Which means serving others too. And that will involve a lot of sacrifice. A lot of people think in terms of serving others in the church or being a blessing to others, they say, what is the minimum I have to do? What is the minimum I have to do to serve others? Those are the ones who are like paralyzed members in the body, who are a weight in the body of Christ, useless to God and useless to man. So think of this verse. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. One more thing. 1 Corinthians 6:12 again. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is lawful. For example, that's the next thing he says in the very next verse. He talks about food. All things are lawful for me. Food is lawful, but I won't be mastered by it. And he says in the next verse, food is for the stomach. And the stomach is for food, but one day God is going to destroy both of them. And sex, that's also part of the body. But the body is for the Lord. He talks about sexual sin there also in verse 13. Food and sex, the two strong desires in the human body, are what he refers to in verse 13. Lawful, sex is lawful in marriage, completely unlawful outside it. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. That's an amazing verse. I have used that verse, to tell you honestly, many times when I'm sick with something or the other, and that's happened many times in these years. I've said, Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 6:13, my body is yours. I have no doubt about it in my mind. I never want to use my body for myself, to indulge in sin, or to do something which I know is displeasing to you, or take my body and take it to a place where God doesn't want me to go. Even if it's not sinful, does God want me to go there? This body is for the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right through my life. And so I say, Lord, as far as I know, I can honestly say that is true in my life since many years. Therefore, if my body is for the Lord is for my body, according to that verse. So now, Lord, I'm a bit sick. It says here, you're for my body. Better do something about it. This body is for you, and you are for my body. And then further down about the body, it says, the Holy Spirit, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've got two verses now. The Lord is for my body, and my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if your church building is in disrepair with the windows broken down or the door doesn't shut properly, you do something about it. I don't think you'll wait one day. You'll fix it, because it's the house of the Lord. And I say, Lord, that church building is not the house of the Lord. This body is the house of the Lord. This is the temple. Something's not working. Please fix it. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I want it to be fit to serve you. It's amazing what God can do. But it begins with, the body is for the Lord. Don't jump into the Lord is for the body. I've seen numerous people who claim healing from the Lord. I say, you haven't fulfilled the conditions. You want the Lord for your body, but your body is not for the Lord. Your body you use for yourself to indulge so many desires. Not sinful desires, lawful desires, but you don't think of what is profitable. You allow certain things in the world to master you. Paul said, all things are lawful, but I will never be mastered by anything. Because if you allow something to master you, in that area, the Lord is not your master. See, if money, the pull of money masters me, in that area, the Lord is not my master. Yeah, there's so many areas I've allowed the Lord to be my master, but one area I have not. If food is my master, in that area, the Lord is not my master. You know, I think of a jigsaw puzzle, you know, different little pieces put together to form a picture. And I think of a jigsaw puzzle of the face of Jesus Christ. Many, many pieces put together. Now, if 10 pieces from the face are missing, it doesn't look like Jesus at all. It's originally a picture of the face of Jesus, anyway, as we know it, the paintings, let's say. But a few pieces are missing in that face, the nose, the eyes, and certain parts are missing. And it looks like anybody's face. So, I see that it's like that. There's certain areas where I say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like you here, 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 here. And out of the 50 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of Jesus' face, I got maybe about 25 of them in place. And I don't look like Jesus at all. I'm talking about my character, my life. Because there are certain areas I don't want him to be Lord. It's a wonderful life because sometimes we think, if I allow Jesus to be Lord of my whole life, that means I won't even go to a vacation unless I have clarity from the Lord. The Lord wants me to do that and to spend my money that way. You say, boy, what a bondage that'll be. You mean I can't go for a vacation wherever I feel like, when I feel like? Well, you can do it when you feel like. The Lord's not going to hold you back. He's not going to prevent you from drawing that money from the bank to do it. But Jesus would seek the Father's will. There were times when he told his disciples, we've been working so hard, let's go apart and take a little rest for a while. He said that. So there is a place for a type of rest and vacation. But it's a question of whether we really want God's will or not. And very often the devil says, don't surrender to God like that, because I tell you, God is a spoil sport. He'll never let you have anything that'll make you happy. He'll make your life so tight and miserable that you'll be unhappy, long-faced all the time. That is the biggest lie the devil has convinced so many Christians about. God is a loving Father. He does not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. In case you don't know that verse, that's a great verse that you must know, because sometimes we think that God withholds certain things from us. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Remember this verse all your life. The last part of Psalm 84, verse 11. It's a good thing for our children to know this verse as well. Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will God ever withhold from those who walk uprightly.